We didn't have a meeting.
Discussion draft.
We never had a meeting to discuss it. It was a called a discussion draft, but we never had a meeting to discuss it. Then all of a sudden, on December the 26th, the Chief Justice informed me and other members of the court that there were four people on the court ready to decide to sign the Williams opinion. And so it was signed and it was issued.
If you remember the date, probably the 29th or 30th.
It was right at the end of the year. I can't recall exactly the date on which it went down. But it would be in the books. And I was stuck with this. I was stuck with this formal so-called majority opinion that I had written that didn't address the Williams opinion at all. It didn't dissent from it. It simply presented an entirely different point of view. I filed that as my dissenting opinion. Mostly because I'd done the work, and I thought whatever scholarship was involved there should be given the light of day and let the profession use it or not use it as they chose. But then I wrote and added to my opinion a so-called addendum in which I attempted to address the Williams opinion as best I could on very short notice. And I ended up pointing out that, in my opinion, the majority opinion was not good law. It was not even law. It was a position paper, a political position paper, really. And I felt the whole issue was political to begin with. But it obviously is still before us. 20 years later, we're still debating about how to finance public education.
Do you remember what the sequel was to the filing of that opinion on the 30th of December, though?
Well, yes, the sequel was that after the new year and January of 73, when Mary Coleman came on the court, there then was a quick shift. And I believe at the behest of Justice Levin, who made the motion, the court sua sponte reconsidered the opinion in the case of Milliken versus Green and reversed its position, in effect.
That happened in January, what you just recited, but it's interesting, if you go through the reports, I believe you find this, that in August or September or somewhere later in the year, there's a one, without any title or headnotes or anything, is a one-paragraph thing that is in the form of an order of the Supreme Court. What that said, as I recall, was that such and such things having happened, including the opinion of the United States Supreme Court in a Texas case, Rodriguez, that we now expunge, I think that word was used, from our records, the opinion filed in December. If it didn't use the word expunge, it was something equivalent to that, that we, you know, set at naught, vacate, and attached to that little order, as I recall, was something that bore Levin's signature, that was quite a broad and thorough analysis from his viewpoint, somewhat along the lines of yours, that this was kind of an opinion in a vacuum. It didn't do anything. It didn't decide anything. It said what the legislature had ordained a year and a half before was out of order, but that now there's a new year and a new school aid law, and if it invited the court or invited anybody to come back to the court. Do you recall that part of it?
Well, it's in just sort of general terms, but you see that whole process. I don't know whether, I think the court's still doing it because people are still on the court who believe that it's the proper function of the court to do these things. And I think principle of the principle one of them is Justice Charles Levin. I think Justice Levin sees the court as a kind of body with a constitutional mandate to make decisions, make decisions about anything, whatever it about government, about life, about people, about the way we live, the way we are, the way we finance things, the way we pay for things, whatever. I don't think he has the same sense of a limited role of decision maker between litigants that I have. I mean, I think a judge and a courts decide cases and controversies, and that they decide them in accordance with some traditional limitation of what kinds of decisions that they can make. I think Justice Levin is probably what I might call of the Solomonic view. That is, you can be inventive. You can make things up when people come before you, and if a case is presented that sort of highlights a problem in society, you can directly address the problem in society and in effect issue orders to the world. You know, what you hang what you pin on the door of the courthouse and make everybody come and see.
But do not the rules, or does not the Constitution limit the court, circumscribe what it can do?
Oh yeah, but can you conceive of a judge saying to people, bring us a case, we invite you to bring a case to our court? Why in the world would a court ever say to the world, we invite you to bring us a case? I mean, the reason they say that is because we want is an excuse to make some law here. We have an idea about how the world should be and how things should be run, but we unfortunately we have, and they're happy.